From NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. Attorney General Eric Holder says the man accused of trying to set off a bomb inside an SUV in New York's Times Square is providing useful information to investigators. Holder also says Faisal Shahzad admits being trained in Pakistan. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston says for now, the attorney general is providing limited information on the investigation.
The attorney general was really careful about what he divulged at this press conference. He didn't want to give up too much information because, as he said, the investigation is ongoing. This is why it's really likely that we're going to see some more arrests and certainly more information coming out in the coming days.
NPR's Dina Temple-Raston. Shahzad was picked up after boarding a flight at New York's JFK Airport bound for Dubai. Executives of the failed investment bank Bear Stearns will be answering questions today before the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission. NPR's John Itzde reports the commission is charged by Congress with examining the causes of the nation's financial meltdown.
The focus of the hearing is the shadow banking system. That's a reference to the largely unregulated group of financial institutions, including Wall Street investment banks, who played a big role in lending during the bubble years. Former Bear Stearns chairman James Cain will testify publicly for the first time since his bank was taken over by J.P. Morgan Chase with U.S. government help. Cain has been criticized for playing in a bridge tournament in Detroit while his firm was failing in March of 2008. During a second day of testimony, the Crisis Commission will question former Securities and Exchange Commission chairman Christopher Cox and William Donaldson. The SEC has been accused of regulating Wall Street too lightly as the bubble developed. John Itzde, NPR News, Washington.
There are questions on Capitol Hill about how oil companies are responding to the explosion and oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. As crews continue efforts to stop the flow off Louisiana's coastline, NPR's Andrea Seabrook reports lawmakers are looking for answers.
Top executives from BP, Halliburton, and Transocean Limited held a closed-door briefing with members of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Joe Barton of Texas is the top Republican on the committee and a big supporter of domestic oil companies. But, he said,
I have concerns in this particular case about the attention to safety, the attention to maintenance, the attention to using best available control technology, and best monitoring practices.
Barton and several top Democrats plan a trip to the Gulf later this week. Andrea Seabrook, NPR News, the Capitol.
The protests in Greece are growing more vocal and bringing a halt to airline flights, trains, and ferries. Public service workers are on strike to protest austerity measures expected to be approved by Parliament tomorrow. This is NPR News from Washington. Michigan's governor describes Ernie Harwell as the voice of summer. Harwell spent four decades in the booth doing play-by-play for the Detroit Tigers. He died yesterday at the age of 92 after battling cancer. NPR's Tom Goldman looks back on Harwell's long career.
For 42 years, beginning in 1960, Ernie Harwell's rich southern voice filled the airwaves throughout Michigan, uniting generations of Tigers fans.
One more out and the Tigers are the Eastern champions.
A native of Georgia, Harwell was known for being a genuinely nice man who loved baseball. You could hear the love in his play-by-play, whether it was his trademark long-gone home run call or his catchphrase for double plays, two for the price of one. Harwell estimated he called more than 8,300 Major League games, starting with the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1948, but making his mark with the Tigers. Last year, after revealing his illness, Harwell told a crowd at Detroit's Comerica Park he'd been blessed with a great journey. The blessed part of that journey, he said, is that it's going to end in the great state of Michigan. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
The waters have begun subsiding in Nashville, but officials in Tennessee say it'll take a while to assess all the damage from the flooded Cumberland River. The Country Music Hall of Fame has water damage, but officials say it appears the exhibits were spared. The Grand Ole Opry had to move its performances because of the flooding. And the CEO of Gaylord Entertainment says it'll be at least 3 months before the massive Opryland Hotel complex reopens. The former home of the Grand Ole Opry, the Ryman Auditorium, was spared, as was the area known as Music Row, several blocks of recording studios and record labels. I'm Dave Mattingly, NPR News in Washington.